Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by CSNChicago.com Blackhawks insider Tracy Myers. We'll get to the beginning of the offseason moves for the Blackhawks in just a second. But first, can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. Well, Trace, we thought we'd be covering maybe a second round game, second round matchup between the Blackhawks and we thought the Wild. That didn't work out either.
Yep.
Should we have seen anything? This top seed in the regular season that had 50 wins, that had that great run from the end of January through the month of March. Were there any warning signs during the regular season that a first round exit via a sweep was even possible?
Via sweep, no. I still don't think, no matter what, I would look through. I mean, this was just so surprising because I don't think you could look at anything throughout the season and say, yeah, this team is just going to be dominated from the start of game one to the end of game four. There's nothing there that told me that. In terms of losing in the first round, you know, I was thinking about this myself a couple days ago. You know, maybe I gave too much credence to their hot February. You know, they had gotten the lines together. They had gotten some chemistry. Then in March, it tailed off a little bit. You know, maybe I put too much into that and thinking, okay, this is the team I've waited to see. The beginning of the season was a lot of goaltender victories.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
I mean, that was when they were still working out. What are we doing here? Who's with who?
How many times did you walk out of the United Center in October and November and parts of December and say, how'd they win that game again?
Yeah.
Like
saying Crawford or Darling most of the time.
Right. And it was like, and they would just find a way to win.
Yeah.
So if they had played that way all season, I'd have been like, yeah, that first round
exit. That was last season.
Yeah, right.
That was last season, you know. And,
exactly.
And so I think that's maybe where I thought that this year was different, was once they got the lines together in February, you thought, okay, you figured it out. You know, you have a little up and down here, but you know, you've got the chemistry going, it's all good. It didn't help that Anisimov got hurt, but at the same time, I might have. Coach Joe Quenneville said it a bunch, you know, once they were catching up to Minnesota, how fortunate they were early in the season because of goaltender victories, because kind of eking these games out and while they were still figuring out lines. So maybe I gave too much credence to one section of the season without looking at the big picture. Maybe.
Look, we've seen this team start slow in the playoffs before. I've seen cup runs start slow.
Sure.
I remember that 2013 where Bickle dominated against the Wild in the first round, where Quenneville, after they had clinched and moved on, was like, we got to be way better than that.
Yeah.
So let me take you back to Saturday, Stan Bowman's presser. Mm-hmm. That was a tone and a message.
Yeah.
That you and I have yet to hear from the Blackhawks during this renaissance that they've been through.
Yeah, the 7 seasons I've covered Stan Bowman, and I think anybody who's ever dealt with him for any amount of time, very calm, no matter what.
Right.
You know, no matter what is going on, just this very even-keeled, calm demeanor. The first thing you noticed on Saturday was he was walking with a piece of paper in his hand, which he never... I don't ever remember him.
That's a good point.
You know, writing things down, and I don't think it was because he didn't think he'd remember it.
Yeah,
I
right.
think it was to make sure that he put emphasis on what he was saying. You know, this was a voice that was firm at times, it was shaky at times. I mean, this was a voice of a GM who was shocked to be there on Saturday, April 22nd, talking about his team being done. So the message was absolutely sent. I didn't go back and count through how many times the word unacceptable was said that day. It was plenty. I didn't go back the number of times that players used the word embarrassed or embarrassing, but it was quite a few. But there's no doubt that the message was sent that day that this was, not to use it again, unacceptable. But as we've seen in the last couple of days, you know, that message is starting to resonate.
There's plenty of blame to go around, too. Yeah. He said he needs to be better. They said the coaching needs to be better. Obviously, the players need to be better, because we could point to basically every player in that series against Nashville and say you needed more. Yeah. So the change, they said, is coming, and it's already started. It began with Mike Kitchen, Q's right-hand man, and then Ted Dent. Was Kitchen more about the penalty kill, or do you think it was really something else to his dismissal?
I wonder if it was, maybe it was one of those things of, okay, we need to shake things up.
Right.
You know, and
we knew it wasn't going to come back the same way. So there was going to be a change, somebody's feelings were going to be hurt.
When you get into a situation where you say things need to change, usually that's a capital C on that front of that word. You know, tweaks is an entirely different thing. That's what they've done in some of these. There's been a lot of change in the, in the roster, certainly. The coaching, for the most part, at least when it came to Q and Kitchen, was probably the most stable area that they've had the last couple of years. So maybe it was that, you know what, some of the things that we've been doing for the last 7, 8, 9 seasons in that department are not working. And so here we are. Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise. But, at the same time, maybe not so much.
And you spoke to Ted Dent recently. Look, he did a great job at Rockford. I think that there was some things that came out during the season via text and via tweet that the writing was on the wall that maybe his honesty or his approach was not being well received by everybody in the organization.
I don't know. Maybe that was the case. I like Ted Dent, and I had a quick chat with him and everything, wished him well, and I'll probably be seeing him at some point again. But I think part of the other side of it is the success of an AHL team, from what I can see, is the depth. And the Blackhawks, through the organization, don't have that depth that they've had. So I think part of it was...
Or they were calling on a lot of it this year to play.
Right, that too. I mean, they were calling on a lot of it. Then their two leading scorers were traded at the deadline. So then you get taken that much more. So it was a tough situation. I guess it's a situation where they said, okay, it was fine the last couple of years. But it's just one more of those changes that they said, this didn't fly, and we have to go our separate ways. But it's too bad. He was a good guy, good coach.
If you look at the roster makeup and how it performed in the playoffs, if you look at some of the recent additions, and I'm talking about Richard Panik over a year ago, Thomas Yurko, John Hayden as early as the end of the season in March. They were looking for bigger forwards. Yeah. That seemed to be like looking for forwards that have a little physicality to their game, but also can finish. But I don't think the roster had forwards that had postseason edge to their game.
Yeah.
And, willing to take a hit, make a hit, or go to the dirty areas.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always need to be a big guy.
No.
As we found out in the Nashvilles, Arvidsson is not a big guy.
No.
But plays,
he got there.
But plays with an edge. So do you agree with the one thing that maybe we didn't see on this playoff roster was a couple of forwards that have that grit and willingness that you need in playoffs?
No, absolutely. You look at, and I know he had a rough last couple of years, and you wish him the best of health moving forward. When Brian Bickell was at his best, there wasn't anybody who was going to stop him from getting to the net. Andrew Shaw was another one where,
And again, not a big body, but a guy who played big.
He was a guy who was willing to go. And Coach Joe Quenneville has talked about this, and it's very evident. It's not necessarily knowing you have to get there. It's the will.
Right.
To get there. And I used to ask Andrew Shaw about this all the time, about, taking the hacks and the whacks and you're getting hit and knocked down and everything like that. Because, hey, I want to be at the net. I want to score. That's the price you pay. And it is a big price. So, yeah, it's absolutely not about the size. And you know, for a while it looked like the Blackhawks were onto that. Richard Ponick, throughout the regular season, you know, most of his goals were within 5 feet of the net.
Right.
You know, same thing with Ryan Hartman. But when they got frustrated in the playoffs, it happened. And them fighting through that, you know, all as a team, was hard to find. I think that was the big thing, is the will just kind of went away. The ability was there, but that will to say, okay, these guys are ticking me off, but I need to do something about it. It wasn't team-wide as far as I'm concerned.
The lack of speed on defense was also very evident. Mm-hmm. How much do you think that is a major concern of Stan's this offseason?
You know, it's amazing how 4 games opens your eyes to things that I didn't notice this as much during the regular season. Maybe I wasn't paying as much attention as I should, but it became glaring. You know, the Blackhawks are in a situation, we're talking about change once again, and I know that you and Steve and Jamal talked about this on the last podcast, is, you know, are you at that uncomfortable stage where you might have to tell somebody, you know, we have to move forward? You know, I realize there's a lot of no movement clauses. There's a lot of asking permission if it comes down to that. As Jamal said, it can be done. It's not always.
That's
nice.
A good point that he made on that podcast. Yeah. That I think we all say, well, the player has the right to say, I don't want to go. But the reality is, and look at it, any job, any profession, if your boss came up to you and said, we don't want you here, how much would you want to be there?
Well, yeah, and if, especially if, you know, people can make your life miserable. And, there's a pride that we all have in doing our jobs. And when we're with a group, you think, okay, I want them, they want me. Once that gets changed, once it's shown that, I'm just not that into you anymore, that has a resonating effect, you know. And so, yeah, the no movement clauses look great on paper. But in a situation like this, it wouldn't be the first time. Brian Campbell back in 2011, during that summer, was asked to move his and ended up going to Florida. Mutual separation.
Right.
You know, that was mutual at the time. But mutual or not, you know, it can be done. You hope it doesn't get that ugly, but, you know, it might be a possibility.
I'm going to give you, if I had to tell Stan what I thought the top 3 things that he needs to do this offseason, I'm going to give you mine, and then you can give me yours.
Okay.
So the on his to-do list, I would suggest gritty forward.
Right.
Finding that player, and I think it's probably 2 players, that A, can win a face-off, and another forward who's going to go to the corners, do some of the dirty work. The success of this team has been world-class players surrounded by some role guys with grit. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see that in the last 2 years. So
right. That
needs to change. The other thing would be identify a core type of guy that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Someone, say, making $4 million or more that you can move.
Yeah.
And that you can make them happy. You can get the right cap space needed or the right player coming back to do some of the things you want to do. And then lastly, my 3rd thing would be get faster on the back end.
Yeah.
And I think, to me, going forward, I think you're going to need to divide Keith and Hjalmarsson and Seabrook up and have them Keith on the top pair, Hjalmarsson on the second pair, or Seabrook and the other one on the third, and pair them up with a younger defenseman. That's if you don't move somebody like a Hjalmarsson. If you had to be in Stan's ear and suggest the top 3 things to do, what might it be?
I would definitely agree with your 3. Maybe to meld 2 and 3 together, and I wrote about this right after the season ended. I think you need to move forward, 1, with your younger players, and also when you go looking in the offseason for some guys. No offense to any past Blackhawks who have been here. Listen, they have done great stuff.
Right.
But the second time around has not yielded the results. So, you know, you can go home again is just not, on the ice is not working.
Right.
You know, and I'll be the first one to admit that when they got Campbell again this year, when they got Oduya, I thought, okay, they're not being put in the same positions. Sure, this could work. It didn't work to the degree that it had to. So I think that's one thing. The other thing I would add to that is, and this is kind of, well, sort of, I mean, pretty good chance, very good chance, no Scott Darling this coming year. You know, and listen, he deserves a chance elsewhere. He's probably going to get it elsewhere. Good luck. The one thing that the Blackhawks have been able to do the last couple of years is been able to find that good backup. You know, I mean, Darling was a find. Yeah. This was a guy who was just off. Ray Emery a couple years ago, who, I mean, he was fantastic here. You know, so the Blackhawks have had that great goaltending 1-2 punch. And I think you're going to need that moving forward. We're going on 2 years now of talking about how much they've relied on goaltender victories. You're not going to have Corey Crawford start 82 games next year. So I think you need to add some depth at goaltender. And if I had to pick a third, you know, I would second your part about the gritty player. You know, and it goes back to what we talked about. You need the Shaw type. You need the guy who's going to say, I don't care what kind of defense you put up in front of me. I am going to get my butt to the net because I like scoring goals, and I don't mind knocking them off my shin pads or what. Well, the shin pads worked, the headbutt didn't. So go with what worked. So, those would be my suggestions.
She's Tracy Myers from CSNChicago.com. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram. We will have more coming up on the Hawks Talk podcast. We're going to play the game with Tracy, part of the future or it's unclear. That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day.
David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities.
Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
Remember, if you can't get enough of Chicago sports, visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all of their sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy.
It's sports. It's social. It's viral.
It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show.
In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago.
And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
Back on the Hawk Talk podcast, Pat Boyle from CSN with Tracy Myers from CSNChicago.com. We're going to play the game. We played it with the boys last week. Part of the future or unclear? And I'll just say a name, and you give me the answer there, part of the future or not. Ryan Hartman.
Yeah, part of the future, definitely.
Schmaltz.
Yes, he needs to get a little bigger, a little stronger, but yes.
Vinny Hinostroza.
You know, I'm not sure that I think there's some development that has to be there. So maybe not. Yeah, I don't think.
Maybe unclear. Okay. Tyler Mott.
I think he has to be part of the future. If he gets back to where he was pre-injury from last season, I think they're onto something because he started beautifully.
How about Anisimov? I mean, a year ago, part of the best line in hockey. I know he was injured, but when you look at some of his deficiencies, certainly at the faceoff circle, and maybe that willingness to go to the front of the net in the postseason and make it count. Your thoughts on part of the future or it's unclear?
I think he absolutely has to be part of the near future. And the reason I say that is, you know, I know what you're talking about with in front of the net for the playoffs. And Q kind of hit on this the other day. I don't doubt that the injury was healed. Was the strength where it needed to be in terms of, you know, having that solid base that he had before the injury? Because during the regular season, he was great at getting to the net. And what he needs is a good long off season to get healthy, which he'll get. I don't believe he's going to Worlds, which I don't think he should anyway. So I agree with you, but I wonder if at least strength-wise he was where he needed to be with that leg.
Next up, we're going to get some unrestricted free agents. Desjardins, part of the future or it's unclear?
I think it's unclear. I love the guy. I'd be surprised if we saw him here next year.
I'll put Oduya and Campbell together.
I think this was it.
And then Scotty Darling, you already mentioned, you think we've probably seen the last of him. Although, you know, it is an option, and it, albeit one that is a dicey proposition because of how important Corey Crawford has been. But if you are looking to relieve a little bit of money, and this would have to be Scott accepting around a 3.75 with incentives or $4 million a year deal, and you could save $2 million and go get a player that helped you. But again, and this is with no disrespect to Scott Darling, but he's not at Corey's level as far as play yet.
I know, you know, I mean, you look back at Corey's first year with the Blackhawks when he kind of came in and saved the day. You know, it was very much a trial by fire. You know, Darling has been fantastic in his time here. There's no doubt about that. I see where you're coming from with the deal. You know, another one where they would have to ask his permission and all that with Crawford. I don't know if I would be willing to part with Crawford right now. I mean, what he's done, what he still should be able to do, that would be tough for me to do.
Let's look at the restricted free agents, beginning with Thomas Yurko.
I don't know. I mean, I won't be surprised if Bowman keeps him, but I don't know if I really see a future here for him.
Richard Panik.
I think you have to. You know, I love what he said in his locker clean-out day, and it was very frank. He goes, listen, I don't know what my worth is because my playoffs weren't really good. Nobody else was either.
That's true.
But, you know, I give him credit for saying that, but I think his worth during your regular season, considering what you got for him, was still there. So, you know, if you could sign him to another deal like this year, I think you keep him.
Dennis Rasmussen, you know, they signed Tanner Caro, and I thought he was a great addition to this team. Do you think Rasmussen is back, or he is? It's unclear.
I think it's unclear because of what you said. Caro just kind of showed that he could play up and down the lineup, and was more of a regular roster guy at the end.
And Kempney?
Oh, I think you absolutely have to keep him. Yes. Sorry, I blanked there on the name, but you know, this is your present and future with defense, and it's time to get him in there and get him going.
And last one, do you think it seems like things are pointing to maybe either TVR losing him in the expansion draft or Marcus Kruger? Do you think it could come down to one of those two, or is Hartman in that also in that discussion?
I think they'll do everything to keep Hartman. I think some of their signings during the regular season were for that. I mean, if you're a new team, you know, Van Riemsdyk might appeal to you more on the front, you know, just getting a young defenseman. The nuts and bolts people will look at Marcus Kruger and say, okay, here's a solid fourth line center who can do penalty kill, can win faceoffs and everything. But I think, you know, in terms of selling and everything, I think the young defenseman would be the more attractive pick for a new franchise.
Great stuff, Tracy Myers. It's going to be an interesting offseason, the most important of the Stan Bowman regime.
Yeah.
And we're going to do some regular podcasts because of the uncertainty and the fact that we're not covering a team that's going to end the season in a parade. We're going to have some time to do this. Look forward to chatting with you on future Hawks Talk podcasts.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast. Remember, if you can't get enough of Chicago sports, visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all of their sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshop.